lot of special worship services, a lot of things happening, and we are so grateful to that worship team who prepared so many things behind the scenes. And so as we reach now the end of the Advent time and, of course, our Christmas Day service, we're grateful for the worship team and for everybody who worked so hard during Advent to make sure everything was just perfect for us during this Christmas and the Advent season. And then one more announcement. I think you got the word if you're here now at 11. Hopefully you didn't come at 8:30, but we haven't had an 8:30 service this morning. We won't have an evening worship this evening, and we will have only one worship service next Sunday as well at 11 a.m. So one service next Sunday, no early morning, no evening worship, but then please come back next Sunday for worship at 11 a.m. And then a special announcement about our evening worship service, and that is a new location and a new time starting on January the 8th. We will still have our wonderful musicians led by John Johnson, but that worship service is moving to the chapel, and it will start at 5 p.m. And so a little earlier start, we're going to coordinate that with some of our youth group schedules and a few other church schedules around, but same wonderful worship, but now at 5 p.m., and we hope that that earlier start time might be convenient for some folks, and returning to the chapel for weekly worship, which hasn't happened in 35 years or so, and so we look forward to that, and that will start on January the 8th. Those are all of our announcements. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God. Candle during the Christmas Eve services, but we thought it is Christmas Day, and so we ought to light the Christ candle on this day also. And so I have this reading from Isaiah 9, Isaiah's prophecy about Christ, saying, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has shined. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." We discovered last night how hard it is to light the Christ candle after it's been burning down for several services in a row. And so we'll get it now with the long match. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of worship where we can come and celebrate your incarnation. We celebrate your birth into the world, and you are the Prince of Peace. You are the Everlasting Father. You are the only mighty and wise God. And so we pray for your presence to be alive, Lord, not just in the world at large, but in each one of our hearts. And we thank you for this Christmas day, and we recognize it as the day in which you brought salvation to us through Christ our Lord. In his name we pray, amen. And God meets us here in this place of worship on this day. I invite you to stand for our call to worship. Christ is born. God is here. Let us rejoice and worship. Jesus is among us. God is with us. We worship Emmanuel. Shout with joy, give thanks and sing, celebrate the incarnate word.
Christ is born. Let us worship the
Son into this world in order to save us, in order to redeem us from the inside out. And so on this Christmas day, let us confess together our need for God's grace. Holy incarnate God, by the light of your goodness and mercy, we see where we have neglected you and our faith. In your true light, we see clearly our own shortcomings. We have not always loved you as you desire. We have not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us and show us your truth so that we may clearly see your will and walk in the way of our incarnate Lord, Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. Through Jesus Christ and his obedience and his death on the cross, we have forgiveness. Amen. hearts be with you.
Also with you.
I invite our children to come forward, and while they do so, please greet one another with a sign of Christ's peace. Their way down, so we'll give them a chance to get here. Hey. Good morning, good morning. Nice bow ties, guys. Like that look. All right, good morning and Merry Christmas. It's nice to see you this morning. How's everybody doing? Good. Well, you might have been up early this morning. Anybody get up around 6, 5:30? Yeah, okay, sometimes Christmas morning is a day we really want to get up early because we're excited, right? We're excited because we hope there might be a few presents waiting for us downstairs or maybe in the living room, wherever it may be that you receive your presents. And so I got a few presents this morning, and I want to show them to you just so you can see what I got. Let's see here in this little bag. What do we have here? This is a special kind of spoon, a special kind of ladle. Do you know what it's used with? What? Yeah, exactly. Like a fish frying thing. Yeah, Kate, it's like a fish fryer. Do you want that? Merry Christmas. It's for a fish fryer. So I got a fish fryer. And in order to get a fish fryer to have something to fish, I got also, you know what these are? I got some lures, that's right. I got some bait, I got some worms, and a little jig right there. Anybody get one of these in their stocking this morning? No, probably not, maybe not. And then here's one, something else I got. This I really like, okay? These are some Memphis coasters. Some Memphis coasters, and so it's got a picture of Elvis on there. And it's got a big riverboat on there and a cotton bowl, and it's got the big bridge downtown. So I got some Memphis coasters. So tell me one thing that you got this morning. What's a present that you got that you really like? Yes, sir, Joseph. Awesome, lacrosse gear. Fantastic. All right, who else? Yes, what'd you get this morning? What? Got some gum. All right, fantastic. You want, all right, here's some fishing lures. You can have those, if you like. They're wrapped up so they won't hurt anybody. What else? All right. Yes, Jean, what did you get? Some socks, some clothing. I know. No, I don't think I want to open it now. Thank you. Yes, sir. All right. Sam, what did you get? Video games. All right. Fantastic. Talmadge, yeah. Pit vipers. All right. I bet those are fun. How about that? I hope they're not too real. Oh, they're glasses. Oh, fantastic. All right, I hope they're not like real pit vipers. Those might be a dangerous gift on a stocking Christmas morning. So anyway, I'm so glad you got these things that you like for Christmas. I got some of these things. It's a great day to receive presents. It's a great day to give presents. Thank you so much. I got it. Perfect. It's a great day to give presents to the people you love. It's a great day to receive presents. It's always so wonderful. But what's the best thing about Christmas? And spending time with your family. That's right, spending time with all these people that you love. All of these good gifts we think about on Christmas. So we also think about the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus. We think about God giving Jesus to the world, that God gave himself to the world in Jesus. And so we think about the best present, the greatest Christmas present ever came on that first Christmas. And it was God's gift of love to the world in Jesus Christ. So I hope that you enjoy all the presents that you get, and especially I hope you enjoy the presence of Jesus Christ in your life today and every day. All right, thanks. Let's pray with me. Please pray with me out loud. Dear God, we thank you for Christmas and the best Christmas present ever, your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Amen. All right. Thanks. Have a great Christmas. Let us pray. Holy God, we approach you on this Christmas morning and we bring before you our hope in this uncommon event, your incarnation. Lord, we've heard the Christmas story told so many times. Sometimes we approach your enfleshment as if it were ordinary, instead of its being the most extraordinary event in human history. Lord, help us to appreciate all those who hoped for Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. We read from Scripture this morning. We do have an Old Testament reading. It's not there in the bulletin, but we do have a reading from Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 17. Isaiah 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." And then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria." And then from the New Testament, we read Matthew's account, Matthew 1, 18 through 25, Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. There are some combinations or formulas or pairings that make perfect sense to us because we can see them. We learn them early on. They make sense to us and they just sort of roll off the tongue. 2 + 2 = 4. You can see it. You can add it up on your own fingers. Red and yellow make orange. You can verify that by mixing up those two colors. You can see it for yourself. Some pairs of people, names, go naturally together. We don't think twice when we hear them because they go down in history together. Bonnie and Laurel and Tom and Sonny and Donnie and thank you. Thank you very much. If you're under 25, I can explain most of those to you after the service. Zendaya and Tom Holland. Okay, if you're over 25, we'll get someone to explain that to you after the service, another pair. Some combinations make logical sense. Some seem so natural. But there's one combination that became just as real as 2 + 2 = 4, just as visible as red and yellow make orange. But when it was first proposed, this formula, this pairing, made no sense whatsoever. It seemed outrageous. It seemed too incredible to be believed, and to some it is still too incredible, and so they don't believe. But for those who believe, it changes everything. It changes your perspective on your own life, on other people, on creation, on the world. It changes everything. The combination, the formula, the pairing first proposed by Isaiah were two words that he put together, Immanuel and El. Immanuel and El. In Hebrew, those two words are a contradiction when they are placed together. In fact, for some people back then, that combination verged on blasphemous to propose that combination. El, you may know, is the main Hebrew word for God. And so in the Old Testament, you hear the name El, God, combined with different words, usually adjectives, to make a name for God. So words like El Shaddai, that's in the Old Testament, means God Almighty. In Genesis 1:1, we see the term El plus Ohim, which means power. The word Ohim means power. And so Genesis 1:1 literally says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, the God of power. Psalm 136:26 describes El HaShamayim, the God of heaven. And there are so many connections that the ancient Israelites used to portray God. These attributes, El plus an attribute put together to describe God. They understood how to think of God as God Almighty, God Powerful, God in the heavens. El was added to many, many words. El Nahat Naim in Deuteronomy 7, the faithful God. But never, never would someone dare to combine El plus Immanuel, Immanuel plus El, because it just wouldn't work. It meant God with us, or more specifically, it meant God is one of us. And that just couldn't work. It was a contradiction. It's so different from so much of biblical thinking. So much of faithful theology in the Bible describes how different, how other than God is from all of us. There's this sharp, sharp line of contrast between us and God. God is holy, we are not. God is just and fair and perfect, we are not. God is a spirit, no flesh and blood, not human, and we are all of those in the flesh. God, El, plus a human being. God is one of us, is a combination that nobody had ever thought of because it seemed so unreal. But Isaiah, this amazing prophet, in one of his prophecies, put these two together, promising that this pairing would one day happen. So Isaiah is speaking on behalf of God to King Ahaz. He said, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Immanuel." God is one of us. So this prophecy comes to Ahaz at a point in his life when he is in serious trouble. He's being pressured by all the kingdoms around him, all the kings and all the armies around him, pressured to enter his country, Judah, the southern kingdom, into an alliance against the Assyrians. But Isaiah implores him not to. Isaiah encourages him to be faithful to God. God promises to deliver you. God will be with you. God will provide a way out. Don't give up on God, says Isaiah. Don't bind yourself over to other powers that are not God, other leaders that cannot deliver for you. Only God can. God will save us. God will be one of us. Isaiah is saying to Ahaz, so trust in this God because he will deliver you. Immanuel. So Isaiah's promise of Immanuel, we know is talking about Jesus. And even in the days of the New Testament, even for a gospel writer like Matthew, he's reaching back to that Isaiah passage to describe Jesus. Even for Matthew, it sounds impossible. It just sounds too unreal to believe. In that day, they lived in that Greek and Roman culture that had this whole pantheon of gods and goddesses who were worshipped. Zeus was the father of gods. Hera was his queen. Mars was the god of war. Neptune, the god of the sea. There were dozens and dozens of more. And according to all those beliefs of all those people around them, those gods didn't create the universe and they didn't create themselves. They just sort of emerged into being. They were part of the universe. And most people believed that all those gods ruled over human beings from their perch on Mount Olympus. But Matthew, as a faithful Jew, wants to write about this person, Jesus, that he has gotten to know. This person who changed his life, whom he and others love and believe in. And on the one hand, Matthew, of course, believes in this real person who was visible and touchable and knowable and lovable. He was one of us. But Matthew and others also came to know that he was more than just a person. They came to know that he was El. He was God. He God that they had come to know in the flesh. So Matthew wants to tell this, at the very beginning, he's telling this story of El, God, becoming one of us, telling it to anybody who will read his gospel, to anyone who would believe. Because Matthew knew that if you believed in Emmanuel, it would change your life. And so the story that Matthew writes as he reaches back to find the words from Isaiah, the story that he writes about this most unbelievable combination, this most unnatural pairing that has ever taken place in history, this pairing of Emmanuel, God, and humanity. God is one of us. Divine nature and human nature. Absolute power and yet suffering. Absolute love and yet vulnerability to rejection. Absolute holiness and yet also still vulnerable to temptation. Eternity mixed with time. Life, eternal life with dying. Can it really happen? Did it happen? Can God's life and human life that is so different from God actually be joined together in one person? Can God, the God, the Almighty God, the God of the heavens, the all-powerful God who made heaven and earth and everything, become someone just like us in every way? Yes. Yes, that is the truth of Christmas Day. That is the bedrock, that is the foundation of our faith. We celebrate this fact, this unbelievable combination of Emmanuel plus El that became a reality. God is omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent, and yet this God, for a certain period of time, became limited in a life like ours that is vulnerable to all the things for which we are vulnerable, all the things that we suffer. God became a human person in order to serve and save people that he created, and God sees people, sees you as creatures that he loves. Matthew's gospel and his message was so different in that part of the world back then. All those other gods, the world's gods then and the world's gods now, suck the life out of people and always leave them despairing, while our God, Emmanuel, gives life and provides hope. We know that the idea of God becoming flesh and becoming a flesh and blood person like all of us, it caused great offense around that whole Greco-Roman world. The thought of a real incarnation was a stumbling block to so many. So many people then and so many people now believed that a God who was a real God, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, would never become a human being because we are so flawed and so carnal. How could God become one of us? It isn't possible, said so many people in Matthew's day and so many people in our day. But for those who believe, for those who trust like Isaiah did, for those who trust like Matthew did, for those who trust and believe in Emmanuel, it makes all the difference in the world. The ones who realize that their life has become whatever it has become under their own making, that their life needs a Savior, needs a flesh and blood Savior. Those who realize that, it makes all the difference in the world. Those who look at their own lives and see what it's like as a result of their own choices, they want to trust in Emmanuel because he's the only God who can save any of us. Those who believe in Emmanuel are those who have realized that only a God who is this incredible and this powerful to mix both God and human life can save them. Someone who knows your temptations, but who has the holiness to overcome them. Someone who has experienced your pain, but has the power to be healed and to heal you. Someone who shares your fears, but who has the love to endure them. Someone who has faced your death that we will all face, but who has the eternal life to overcome it. This happened. Today we celebrate that the impossible has happened and that God is one of us. Believe in Emmanuel. Merry Christmas.
Today we have been given the gift that when we came to church this morning, we got to spend time with God. And we've heard his voice in his word read and proclaimed. So I invite you to stand as you are able and join me as we respond by affirming our faith together in the declaration of faith. We affirm that Jesus was born of a woman, as is every child, yet born of God's power, as was no other child. In the person and work of Jesus, God himself and a human life are united but not confused, distinguished but not separated. The coming of Jesus was itself the coming of God's promised rule. Through his birth, life, death, and resurrection, he brings about the relationship between God and humanity that God always intended. Amen. You may be seated. And we're reminded on a day like today that one of the gifts that we are given when we get to come together and experience the presence of God together is we can be wherever we are in these moments, whether today is a day of just joy and celebration, or if it's a heavy kind of day, we don't have to leave ourselves on the doorstep, but we can bring all of who we are unfiltered and lay it before the feet of Christ. So I invite you, would you join me in a prayer? Jesus, today, on this gorgeous Christmas morning, we come and we say, happy birthday. Thank you. Thank you for choosing to show up in ways that we could never hope or expect, in ways that defy logic and reason, that still blow our minds. Lord, we celebrate you this day. And we thank you for choosing to be with us, for not just being some deity up in the clouds, but walking on the face of this earth with us. And Lord, you have gifted us with your very self. And we admit that there are days that we totally take that for granted. But on this holy day, we are humbled to feel the fullness of that wonderful gift. And so, Lord, we celebrate you today. And as our families and friends and loved ones near and far, the family that you have blessed us with and the family that we choose for ourselves, we ask that you would amplify our joy this day by reminding us in each movement, in each morsel, in each present of who you are and what you continue to do in our lives. And Lord, we also hold in equal measure gently before you, because these days bubble up so much. These high holy days bring out such contrast in our lives. And so we lift to you those who aren't celebrating today, those who are ferociously cold and don't have a place that's warm. Those for whom these days are ones of grief and reminders of sadness and loneliness. These days that don't feel light, but unbearably heavy. We give them to you, Lord. We give these parts of ourselves to you. And we do so not to damper the joy of this day, but in humble trust that your love and what you came for is for all of it, all of who we are, not just the good stuff, but all of us, to redeem and save every bit of our life with you. So we love you, Jesus, and we praise your name. And we offer to you the words that you taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There are days that we feel it, and there are days that we totally don't. But every day on this side of heaven truly is a gift from God. And as we look out over the landscape of just the few days we have left in this year and the expanse of the new year to come, we see how God has richly blessed us. And so in response to his bounty and love, we give back a portion of all of the blessings God has given us. So I invite our offering collectors to come forward and receive our gifts to Almighty and merciful God.
Look how
Let's pray. God, what we have, we give you. And on this day, you remind us in such a special way that we're here because of you. We are still here because you are with us. You are our life, you are our love, you are the breath in our lungs. And so, Lord Jesus, we dedicate these gifts to you. We love you. Bless and magnify these for your glory. Let them impact someone's life. Let them be a gift to someone today, that in these your kingdom would continue to come and connect and transform people's lives for the better. This we pray in your precious name. Amen.
What better charge can you have than that? To go tell it on the mountain, go tell it everywhere. Go tell it to your families, your neighbors, your community that Jesus Christ is born. And to this God who can accomplish far more abundantly than we could ever ask or imagine, to this God be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ now and forever.